There it goes. A miraculous moment in time. Church, as we make our approach toward Advent, I ask you to begin the journey with me by reflecting on the profound significance that one specific moment in time can have in your life. We often say, wow, the timing of this, that was good. Or wow, the timing of that, oh, that was bad. Or hey, that was amazing. That was unusual timing. Or whatever, isn't that true? We tend to use that phrase, sure. Now, I ask you, let me go back. But have you ever paused to consider the immense importance of timing in actually every aspect of your existence? I mean, even the most mundane things. For example, would you plant tomato seeds in November? In Reno, would anyone here do that? Outside, at least? No. Bad timing. Would you paint the exterior of your house in January in Reno? You could try if the weather was good, but typically it's bad timing. I just had some painting at my house done. Some eaves had to be touched up and done. And, you know, I was kind of getting nervous because I was like, hey, I want to get this done before the weather hits. Maybe some of you have had that too. Hey, would you take a dip in Lake Tahoe during February? Would anyone do that? Because unless you're a polar bear, it simply isn't the right time. It's hardly the right time even in the summer. You know, it's cold. No, but there's a perfect time for each of these activities. And I guess while we're at it, I believe we can all agree that December is not the ideal time to embark on a strict diet. Am I right? That's why we usually save that till January, right? Because that's a better time. But also, we got some sports buffs here, and there's a lot of sports stuff going on. I mean, just consider the role of timing in sports. If the timing is off, for example, the quarterback won't connect with his receiver for a successful play. Yeah, having been a guy that played football in high school, I know that it takes mere seconds to disrupt the timing in football. And similarly, if the timing is off, a basketball player may arrive at a spot on the court either too early or too late, missing the opportunity to either receive or pass the ball. So those are just some illustrations of how timing works in some very practical ways. But now, friends, please think about the significance of timing in our daily lives. If you've ever missed a flight by arriving just 1 minute after boarding, you know the seriousness of timing. Isn't that true? Has anyone ever done that? You just missed it. Yeah. I remember one time running through the Dallas airport to catch my flight to Guatemala. It was going to be the last one. And I was literally running like O.J. Simpson and carrying what I could and trying to get there. And in that case, I just barely made it. But I realized how important timing was to get there. There's an old song that used to play, "Get Me to the Church on Time." It's about a wedding, I think. Got to get to church on time. Maybe you were delayed at work, but that delay prevented you from being involved in a major accident on the highway. Anyone ever had that kind of a scenario? You would go, whoo, wow, I just missed that, the timing. You know, it's a somber thought to think about, but think about the people who left the World Trade Center just maybe 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes before that horrible incident in 2001. Terrorist attacks. And for them to go, wow, the timing of walking out of that building when I did, you know, wow, how do you even reconcile something like that in your mind, wondering how that happened? And for others, the timing, then they walked in the building. Those are those kind of mysterious things that you just, timing can get kind of heavy, you know what I mean, when you think about it. And if you're a parent, and like, for example, you have a preschooler, you can know that in just 1 minute, they can disappear and get into trouble, right? I just turned around and they're gone. Where are they? Yeah. Yeah, everyone, a single moment, even a mere 60 seconds, in a specific place, at a specific time, can change everything. And friends, I submit to you that the truth that being in the right place at the right time can change everything is supremely the case when you and I reflect on the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, because you see, Galatians 4:4 in the New Testament is a very amazing verse of scripture. It tells us there, and let's please read it together. But when the set time had come, fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Wow. Did you catch that? God's word tells us when the set time had fully come. In other words, at just the precise right moment, God sent his son. Now, everyone, that is absolutely what I want to call a most miraculous moment in time. In fact, let's say that together. A most miraculous moment in time. Absolutely. Everyone, no doubt about it. Christ came at the perfect moment. Yeah, the Bible says, when the time came to completion, that's another version, God sent his son. But you know what is both amazing and sad? Most people totally missed out on the amazingness of that moment. Yeah, that's right. The people of his own day didn't even realize how important it was when Jesus was born. No, everyone was way too busy to pay attention to a young girl giving birth in a stable in Bethlehem. But here's the crucial point. Jesus was born at exactly the right time in world history. It wasn't just some random coincidence. No, not at all. The precise timing was all part of God's big plan that he had put into motion way before the world even existed. And to that end, and that thought, noted American pastor, the late Warren Wiersbe, explains. He said, historians say that when Jesus was born, the Roman world was waiting for a savior. Yeah, the old religions were fading away and people were feeling lost and empty. New mysterious religions were popping up everywhere. People were desperate for something more. God was getting ready for his son to come. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? I don't know if you knew that fact. That was kind of the spiritual atmosphere at the time during this empire, this really large empire. Yes, and actually, church, if you and I look at it from a broad historical point of view, the Roman Empire actually played a big role in preparing the world for Jesus. And you say, well, how so? Well, first of all, they built roads that connected cities, making travel immensely easier. Yeah, and the way they did things, and the saying wasn't, you know, without cause. All roads lead to Rome. So they designed travel to head toward the capital of the empire and to connect with all the major centers at that time. So let's just say it this way. By ancient standards, at least, it was really super easy to get around. And you also know that the Romans had, they learned how to pave roads and do things that, you know, made travel much more effective. They were like the highways of the time. Also, the world was at peace under Roman rule for the most part, and their laws protected the people. Remember, more than once, Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship. Remember, when he was doing his missionary work, that they couldn't just beat him up when people didn't like what he had to say. He said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. There's laws, folks. And so Paul was protected until he could get in front of a judge. Also, the Roman soldiers kept everything safe and sound. There was a high, you know, how you call it, police presence. Plus, thanks to the Greek and Roman conquest, lots of people knew both Latin and Greek, so they could communicate with each other from all over the world. Think about that. Some common language between nationalities had happened under the empire. Now, folks, all of this made it very easy for the disciples of Jesus and their gospel message to move out into the world, do you see? Because Jesus had said, our Lord, he told them before he went back to heaven, before the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, he said, look, I'm going to give you the power to go out from what? First Jerusalem, then Judea, then to Samaria, and then to all the nations of the world. You're going to take this message out. And the superstructure, if you will, was there now because of the Roman Empire to actually do it. And it's amazing how fast the gospel could travel because of that fact. Well, listen, God knew that, okay? God knew that and designed and planned for Christ to come at just the perfect moment. But, saints, there's actually another important aspect to the significance of the timing of Christ's birth as well. In a debate some years ago with noted atheist Christopher Hitchens, the late Christopher Hitchens, Christian apologist William Lane Craig observed how Christ's arrival on earth occurred at the perfect time for maximum impact upon the human population as a whole. And here's what Craig explained at the time. He said, quote, human beings have existed for thousands of years on this planet before Christ's coming. But what's really crucial here is not the time involved. Rather, it's the population of the world. The Population Reference Bureau estimates that the number of people who have ever lived on this planet is about 105 billion people. Now, that's now been revised to 117 billion people. But listen to this. Craig says, but only 2% of them were born prior to the advent of Christ. Think about that. Of this massive amount of people who've ever lived on this planet, only 2% were born before the coming of Jesus. Eric Kreps of the Survey Research Center of the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research says, quote, God's timing couldn't have been more perfect. He said Christ showed up just before the exponential explosion in the world's population. Do you hear that? I don't know if you ever knew that fact. Some of it was really news to me. Only 2%. So he was timed to be there right before the population of the world would explode, where his message could match with the growth of the world's population. William Lane Craig continues, quote, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, and when Christ came, the nation of Israel had been prepared. The Roman peace dominated the Mediterranean world. It was an age of literacy and learning. The stage was set for the advent of God's son into the world. And I think in God's providential plan for human history, we see the wisdom of God in orchestrating the development of human life and then in bringing Christ into the world in the fullness of time. Don't you think this is a great insight? A great insight. And guess what? Also, by that time, all of the ancient biblical prophecies of the Old Testament about the coming Messiah had been fulfilled. So, wow, from the standpoint of Rome being this platform, the empire being this platform on which Christ message could go forward, the population now being poised to explode on this planet with this revelation of the gospel now being able to be taken to the soon-to-be teeming masses, and for Jewish prophetic fulfillment, the Jewish nation being the womb from which Messiah would be born, all those prophecies over those thousands of years, all of that being fulfilled, Christ came 2,000 years ago at the precise God-ordained moment to maximize the impact of his coming and the salvation that he would bring. On every front, it was like the perfect setup for Jesus to come into the world. I'm just saying, God really knew what he was doing when he sent his son at that precise moment in world history. And can I get an amen for that? All right. But friends, I submit to you that the miracle of the Christmas moment also reveals that God in Christ provides at the perfect moment. How many of you would likely agree that there are lots of people who just go through the motions on the Christmas holiday season or at the Christmas holiday season without ever really experiencing the miracle of the Christmas moment? Do you think there's a lot of people? Yeah. And you know, everyone, that's really very sad because there are some people who really need a miracle this time of year. And, you know, I don't know everybody here, but maybe that's you. Maybe it's someone watching online today. Maybe it's you, or maybe it's someone you know or love. I mean, I know Neil shared and Cece, someone that they know and love that needs a miracle from God. Well, saints, you know, the good news of Christmas is that God knows exactly when to come to us, but not just when to arrive, but also in arriving, to give us just what we need. I like that little picture. So for God to give us, in Christ's coming, what we need. You see, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is a loving and he is a giving God, and that is one of the most important and beautiful themes of Christmas. And folks, if you look at what the Bible says, you can see that God's actions reflect his character. In Psalm 145, 15, it says, "Everyone looks to you, God, hoping for you to give them food when they need it." That's a pretty basic human need, but hey, absolutely something that has to be there for our existence, fundamental to our existence, I'd say. Psalm 104, 27 says, "Lord, all creatures depend on you to give them food at the right time." In Deuteronomy 11:14, God himself says, "I will send you rain for your crops at the right time, in the fall and in the spring, and you'll have plenty of food and drink." Now, I think it's interesting here that God knows about the time, the psalmist says, when our most basic human need to be able to eat, to live, we don't live to eat, we eat to live. But God knows when we need those things, and he provides them. Those are very basic, fundamental things. I think you're hearing this with me, everyone. Yes, God will provide for our evident material needs, but Christ's coming also allows for God then to provide for and meet the deepest needs of our heart. Are you with me? I mean, that's right. We need to really get that understanding. God wants to meet our most basic human needs so that we will trust him with the interior, deeper needs of our spiritual life, our spirit man. In a 2013 issue of Christianity Today, there was a story of a Muslim man who described his commitment to follow Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah. And how that came about was, surprisingly, seemingly simple miracle caused this man to open his heart to Jesus Christ. And here's how he described the miracle. He said, "One night, the only food my wife and I had was a small portion of macaroni. My wife prepared it very nicely. Then one of her friends knocked on the door. I told myself, the macaroni is not sufficient for even the two of us. So how will it be enough for three of us? But because we have no other custom, we opened the door and she came in to eat with us. While we were eating, the macaroni started to multiply. It became full in the bowl. I suspected that something was wrong with my eyes, so I started rubbing them. I thought maybe my wife hid some macaroni under the small table, so I checked, but there was nothing. My wife and I just looked at each other, but because the guest was there, we said nothing. Afterward, I lay down on the bed And as I slept, Esau came to me and asked me, "Do you know who multiplied the macaroni?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "I am Isa al-Masi, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. If you follow me, not only the macaroni, but your life will be multiplied." Wow. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? But here's the point. What an amazing testimony of Christ coming to provide at the perfect moment. At the perfect moment. I just say, wow, perfect timing, Jesus. This man is sitting there trying to figure out how they're going to feed the two of them, and now they've got a guest. And the custom is the hospitality rites of the East. They open up their home. Right when they needed a provision, the Lord gave it. And then he came to him to interpret it, that he should come and follow him. Wow. I love the story. Yes, and dear one, Scripture's telling you that God knows exactly what you're going through and what you need. And he will come to you at just the right time in his own chosen sovereign way and give you what you need in that moment. Here's the thing to know. His timing is always perfect. And that's right. It's always perfect. Not only did God come to us at the perfect time 2,000 years ago in the past, he continues to come to you and me at the perfect time today. Sometimes we wonder about the Lord's timing. That's normal. Just when we need him the most, though, he's there. But we sang a song this morning that said, "Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working." Do we really believe that? I have to challenge myself to believe it sometimes. I'm just human, like you. I mean, we're all people with like passions, as the scripture says. Even Elijah was a man with like passions like us. Prophet, the great prophet of Israel. Like emotions, in other words. But when we need him the most, he's there. Even when we can't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it. And just like the Muslim man, most importantly, Christ comes to you and me in our need for spiritual salvation. The Lord meets our material needs, our relational needs, but our greatest need is our need for spiritual salvation. And that's why Paul's wording in Romans 5:6 is so interesting. When he says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners." I mean, think about it. Even in the death of Jesus, not just his birth, but even in his death, it was at just the right time. Let me ask you, when do you really need a miracle of God's grace? Well, I would suggest typically when you have no other options and no more resources, right? Isn't that when we typically start looking for some kind of outside help, some kind of a miracle from God? Well, my brothers and sisters, that's when you're in a position to receive a miracle of grace from God. And as you look to him, he's promised to come at just that right time, give you exactly what you need in that moment. But here's what I want to say. It's so important. Please, always, please understand that God always answers according to his own sovereign wisdom and his best plan for our lives. That is a part of being submitted to God, that God's grace, the Bible calls it manifold grace. The manifold grace of God. That means the many-sided grace of God. God's grace has many sides. I'm going to be talking about his salvation in just a moment. God's grace has many sides to it. And so when I say, "God, I need a miracle of your grace," anytime God intervenes in my life, truly, it's a miraculous thing. God's invading my world. God's coming in. And he's providing some grace for me. And that's what I look for from God. I don't try to always tell him exactly what I need. I tell him I just need his grace. Paul was telling the Lord one time, the Apostle Paul, what he needed specifically. And the Lord said, here's what you need. My grace is just what you need. My grace will be sufficient for you. But what does that mean, Lord, specifically? Can you interpret what that means? How will your grace manifest? What will it look like? What will the outworking of it be? The Lord didn't qualify it. He just said, my grace will be enough for you. Whatever the grace is I will give you will be enough. And I say, Lord, that's the miracle I need then. I'll let your wisdom decide it. Now, don't get me wrong. We ask God for certain things, and Paul was doing that, rightly so. But in the end, we trust that God will manifest and apply his grace as he deems. So if I don't see it come one way, I'm going to say, Lord, it's going to come another way. It's like the Mother Abbess told Maria, remember, in The Sound of Music, where God closes a door, he sometimes, what, opens a window. There's truth in that. We thought he would open the door, but instead he just opened the window. And there was a purpose for that. And I think that that's a big part of the message of the Christmas miracle. But we have to always qualify it when we make statements like that, so we understand what we're submitting ourselves to and expecting from the Lord. So church, still I say, the good news is that even when you and I feel completely helpless, Christ still comes to us today to provide for us, and especially our salvation. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But other needs as well. But dear ones, I finally suggest to you this morning that the miracle of the Christmas moment, because if Christmas is about anything, it's this amazing moment. It also tells us that God says, now is the perfect moment. Please declare with me, now is the perfect moment. Now is the perfect moment. You know, it feels like we're always waiting for the perfect moment to do something. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, for example, we keep waiting for the perfect moment to dedicate our lives to Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Always waiting for that perfect moment. Or maybe you're waiting for the perfect moment to become a member of the church. Maybe you're waiting for the perfect moment to deepen your relationship with Christ. Maybe you've been waiting for the perfect moment to let go of that bad habit or that addiction. You know, dear one, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, here's what God says. God says, oh, wow, here he is again. Look at this God of ours. At the what? Right time. I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, let's read that together. The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. The right time is now. Today's the day of salvation. Are you hearing this with me, my friend? Noted pastor and author Rick Warren writes this. He said, if you've ever spent time in church, you've likely heard the word salvation many times. He asks, but do you know what the Bible means by salvation? The word is like a diamond. You can look at it from several different angles. In other words, how many of you know they call the different cuts on a diamond the what? The facets, right? You can look at a diamond from several different angles. I mean, some of you women, maybe some men here too, you have a beautiful diamond in your ring. And you know if you put it in the light and go like this, you can just see it sparkle all these different ways. Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, here's what salvation means. When we look at it, I submit to you, as Pastor Rick says, the first facet, Rick tells us, is that Jesus came to rescue us. That's facet number one. He says we can't solve all of our problems on our own. Without Jesus, we're trapped in the expectations of others. We're trapped in living for the approval of our peers. We're trapped in addictions or bad habits. We've tried to change over and over again, but we don't have the necessary power to escape. Well, Jesus came to give us that power. Amen. Another facet, he says, is that Jesus came to recover us. He says, we all long to recover parts of our lives that have been lost. Without Christ, we long to recover our strength, our confidence, our reputations, our innocence, and our relationship with God. But only Jesus can do that. He says further, Jesus came to reconnect us. He says, many people think that God will scold them if they come back to him. He says, but God isn't mad at you. He's mad about you. Jesus came to earth on the first Christmas to reconcile us to God and to give us harmony with him again. He says, and finally, Jesus came to earth to give us the gift of himself. He says, too many of us celebrate his birthday without accepting this free gift of salvation. It goes unwrapped year after year after year. Rick says, that's not smart. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Wow. Do you hear that with me, good friend? The facets of salvation Christ's coming has brought to us. Here's what I need to say to you. Right now is the perfect moment to commit your life to Christ. In fact, in Mark 1:15, Jesus himself says, the time has come and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. So then that means now is the perfect time to commit your life to Christ and receive God's gift of salvation. Now really is the time to join the church, the body of Christ. Now is the time to recommit yourself to your marriage and to your family. Now is the time to renew your commitment to walk closely with Christ. You see, the perfect time is now to draw near to the Lord in all these ways. And I want to encourage you and someone watching online, remember, a single moment can determine your eternal destiny. Right now is one of those moments. And you don't want to miss it. Young person, got some wonderful young people with me here. Young person, you don't want to miss it. I'm urging you right now to make a decision. And please understand, am I pressing you a little bit? I'm not the first preacher in history to do this. No, David Brainerd, the great missionary to the American Indians, was on one occasion witnessing to an Indian chief. The chief was very close to deciding for Christ, but he kept holding back. There was just some pause or hesitation. So David Brainerd got up, took a stick, and he drew a circle in the soft earth all the way around the chief. And he said to him, decide before you cross that line. Wow. Why this passion? Why this urgency? Well, folks, it was because Brainerd recognized that at that very moment, the chief was close to God. And if he missed that perfect God-given moment, he might never be so close again in his life. So my good friend, I am drawing a circle around you too this morning. And I'm appealing to you. You don't have to live your life without God's love and blessings. Today is the perfect time to receive God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord, and that means your master and your Savior, then I want to invite you right now to make that commitment. This moment can, and I'm telling you on the authority of Scripture, it will change the course of your life on earth, but also your eternal destiny. Choose Jesus, and you're choosing a fulfilling life on earth and an everlasting life with Christ in the new heaven and earth that is coming. It's exactly what you need in this very moment. And dear one, let me just say it. That's the greatest miracle of Christmas. And so I'm asking, will you recognize this moment for the miracle it truly is? Please don't delay in making the commitment you need to make today, because now is the perfect time. Now, if you're ready to make that commitment of your life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then I want you to whisper a prayer along with me. I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to whisper it along quietly, following with me right now as I lead us to the Lord, all right? This is God time. This is God's moment, a holy, set-apart, sacred moment. So please join me now. And if folks in the church want to pray along, you can do it to support. Or maybe there's someone here that you need to rededicate your life to Christ. You prayed a prayer once. You say, I think I need to renew that commitment to Jesus today. It's time. Then follow me in this prayer too. And the Lord's listening right now. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I don't want to live one more moment without you. I admit that I am a sinner. I ask your forgiveness for my sins, for not recognizing your great love for me. I believe Jesus is your Son, who left heaven and came to earth to die on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead and he is alive today. He came at just the right time. He came just for me. Today I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sin and cleanse me. Change my heart and mind. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose in this moment to receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Things new.
Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. I hope for those of you today who said, this was my time, and you came home to Jesus, you never forget this day, never forget this service, when the Lord said, today was your day. And as we enter into this Advent season, I just pray that you will have expectancy of God's timing in your life. I'm doing that. But if you did pray with me today to accept Christ, this little booklet, Why Jesus, is a very important and I would say even essential follow-up booklet for you to take. There'll be a number of these out in the lobby on the table. You see it on the screen and I'm holding a copy here. Please grab that, take it, read it, and then there's another prayer you can also pray to reaffirm the commitment you have made today. But it gives some really good and essential foundational truths to what a commitment to Christ entails, involves. And make church, the body of Christ, now a priority in your life. And we look forward to meeting you and walking it out together, because this is a spiritual family. And we're thrilled to have you with us. And this is the season for family life to really celebrate when we all come together for these holy holidays. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to send you away with a blessing into our fellowship time right now. So I invite you to stand. I would tell you that there's always prayer right after the service for any need. So whatever need you may have come with today, I invite you to come and get some prayer for that. But after the blessing immediately following, you can head down to the Tahoe Room and a time of fellowship and good food. And I guess we're starting out the Advent season. We're doing it right. Next week, we officially begin Advent and we'll have our special devotionals each week, taking us right up to the Christmas Eve service, which will be on Sunday morning, because it happens to be on Christmas Eve, as I think you know. We'll be combining a Christmas Eve evening and morning service together in one, and it'll be a very special time. So maybe mention to someone you know, friends, family, that they're welcome to join us. Love to have them here. And we'll expect that some lives are gonna further be touched beyond what's happened even here this morning. We're laying the foundation, folks, for the Lord to move. I think Neil was saying that. God's moving. So let's believe that. But as I dismiss you now, now may God bring you safely through your times of temptation. May he, yes, rescue you. May he defend you. May he keep you safe from bad things, from evil people, and even your worst self. May he calm the waters of turbulent temptation, or if it's his will, help you sail through rough seas with a calm soul. And may he bring you to the safe harbor of his perfect will in his perfect time, in perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everybody say, Amen.